Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When someone comes, or you're looking for their arrival, it's for a reason. They're coming for a reason. If your college-aged child comes home, it probably means nothing more than it's Christmas break and the dorms have closed and they don't have any place better to go. If your best friend is coming soon, it's simply a sign of impending happiness. This is Advent. It's about God's coming. And the fact that God came, that he comes, that he will come, that signifies something. It means there's a problem. Something is not right. The situation is not what God wants it to be. That's why God comes down into the world. That's what Advent presupposes. And we still have Advent. And that means that something is still wrong. According to Psalm 80, which was read, something was wrong in Israel. Enemies were scorning and laughing at them. The enemies were plaguing, harassing, harming the people of God. Things were not going well. Actually, they were feeling the problem up north, the northern tribes of Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. But this is a psalm of Asaph, a psalm that arose out of the worship in the Jerusalem temple down south. And yet there is no distinction. It's our problem, the psalmist knows. Restore us, O God. Let thy face shine that we may be saved. We need your advent, Lord. Your people are in trouble from enemies within and without. But the really disturbing thing about the psalm is this. The real problem is God. God has a problem with his people. O Yahweh, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? Why then have you, Yahweh, broken down its walls? God is refusing to hear the prayers of the people. He is behind the trouble that they are experiencing. The psalmist knows and confesses that what Israel needs is for God to come down and change things, to change them. Because the way things are, God doesn't even want to hear their prayers. Our application this morning depends on a straightforward hermeneutical principle and on an honest look around. The nation of Israel was the visible church of that day. The church today is Israel. And since we are placed in a particular visible church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, let us take an honest look around. What do we see? Something is wrong in Israel. Enemies are mocking us, deriding the faith, calling us narrow-minded and bigoted and ignorant, and it's not going well. Membership continually and slowly shrinks year by year. Yesterday, an email arrived announcing synodical plans to cut back a significant percentage of our overseas mission force because the money to support them simply is not there. Trouble without and trouble within. I do not know how serious it will end up being, but you've heard about this Yankee Stadium thing. And charges being filed and lines being drawn and threats being made and plans for political maneuvering on both sides are no doubt well underway. And then there are other dividing lines as well. Worship is one, role of women in the church is another. There's even south and north, St. Louis and Fort Wayne. And we stand on this side of the line or that, and what do we do? What do you do? Well, it's clear that the trouble in Israel is their fault. They're stubborn. They're blind. They can't see the truth. They're resisting the Word of God and frustrating the work of the Holy Spirit. We do what the Psalm of Asaph does not do. We shift the blame. We point the finger. We mock others. We deride them. You've done it, and so have I. It's as if the person we disagree with isn't even baptized. Or maybe it's as if we aren't even baptized. And from mouths into which the body and blood of Christ has gone, from those mouths come mockery and unfair accusation and uninformed opinion. And it's quite clear that there are problems in Israel. And it doesn't seem to be getting much better. I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. But I suggest something to you to which I have been forced by this psalm. Maybe God is angry with our prayers. Maybe it doesn't seem to be getting better in our part of Israel because we are not willing to see that God doesn't want to answer our prayers. Not yet. Maybe God needs to come down and deal with the problem. And the problem is you and I. Maybe God needs to deal with me. Perhaps what he really wants is an advent in which you will turn from the ways that you have troubled the church by your words and your choices and your sinful, weak, jealous, envious heart. The psalmist cries out not once but three times, "Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. We are the problem. Come to us and change us." But will God do this? Is there a reason why he should? The psalmist pleads, "Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock your right hand planted." God made a beginning. He called a people. He planted a vine. But the vine is flawed both then and now. Will God be willing to come down and change and restore and take away our sin again? Why would he do that? He will do it for the sake of the vine, the true vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." All that the people of God have not been, Jesus has been. He has come in the place of Israel. He comes in our place as our substitute, as the true vine. And in the place of stubborn and rebellious people, and for them, God planted this true vine. Long ago, he planted it in the womb of a virgin. And the vine grew and flourished, and it gave life to all around it. Men tried to cut it off, but the vine dresser would not let his vine wither. The vine lives. Jesus lives. And every branch that is grafted in, baptized in, every branch that by itself would wither and die, every branch may find from him the courage to repent and certain promise that he will forgive and we will find hope for the future. Will God come down and restore us? Let your hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man whom thou hast made strong for thyself. Jesus is that Son of the Father's right hand. Jesus is the Son in the place of every son of Adam and every daughter of Eve. God's hand was upon Jesus. He handed him over to death for your sins and mine, and he raised him to victory and promised that he would come again in glory. And until he comes, his word is here among us, in us, to show us the way, to turn us to him, to open our hearts so that he may love us again and love us still and love us forever. Is there hope for Israel? Is there hope for our church? Is there hope for you and me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is hope, and there is forgiveness, and there is a place for us to turn. Have our prayers been soiled with sin and unrepentance, then turn to Yahweh. Turn to Jesus. He will restore you. He will forgive you. He will cause his face to shine upon you, and he will love you, and he will claim you again as his own dear branch grafted into the vine. But the time is now. This is Advent. Right now, God comes in his word, and he places into our mouths and hearts the cry of the psalmist. Restore us, O God. Restore us, O God of hosts. Restore us, O Yahweh, God of hosts, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take away our pride and our comparing and our spite. Soften our hearts toward you and forgive us again and make us new people again. Open our hearts to one another here in this place, in our church. Care for your vine that your right hand has planted. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.